In 2007, the Babylon podcast was our last best hope for more Lost Tales. We thought it failed. But after WonderCon, it became something more. Our last best hope for more Lost Tales geeking. The year is 2008. The name of the show is the Babylon Podcast. And welcome back to another Babylon Podcast. I am Summer Brooks.
I'm Tim Callender.
Happy Koshtober! It's Jeffrey in the Farpoint Studios. Mike, that sounds hot, doesn't it? Am I a little over the top?
No, you're good.
All right, buddy. Hey, I like when you talk to me like that. Excellent. So here's my question. Here we are at the beginning of October, first show of October. Tim, have you got some trees changing colors there?
Starting to actually, not as much as I would have thought, but I was actually looking out the back window and noticed that colors are beginning to change, yeah. And it is noticeably cooler in the night times.
I can tell you that here in L.A., sunset is way closer to 6:30, and that just means the days are getting shorter. Summer is officially over now.
Summer's not over. She's still here.
Thank you. You picked up on that. I appreciate it. That's
yeah. I get all the jokes. But guess what?
She's never heard that before.
We have a special guest in studio with us today.
Nuh-uh.
Yes, we do. Guess who?
It's me. It's me. I'm sick of Tim cutting me off all the time. Here I am.
Not Gary.
Yes, Gary.
In the studio?
Right here. Where are you? I miss you.
That's really a hell of a reason to come to the studio. Tim kept editing my emails down to nothing or just glossing over the content. So I'm going to come here and give my 5-minute voicemails right here live.
That's right, Calendar. Try and stop me now.
I just won't listen to the episode. That's all.
I can't think of any reason why you would ever use Phoenix and Jacksonville in the same sentence, but today we have. This is fantastic. Welcome, Gary. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. You know, it's nice to be in person instead of listening, you know, on the feed or Skyping. To see the actual magic happen, it's inspiring. You know, the castle is amazing. This multi-level studio just constantly oppresses me with all its technical doodads and mics and video equipment. Amazing.
It's just a bunch of blinking lights.
None of that stuff works. And actually, Michael doesn't know how to operate that.
Mike thinks it works. Let him go.
All the pretty lights.
So, Gary, let's just get right to it, okay? What do you really think of Calendar?
I have mixed feelings about Mr. Calendar. I used to like him, but, you know, ever since he started editing my voicemail, I said, what happened to that Tim? The Tim I used to know, who used to look forward to it, agree with me, take what I said and build on it. That's the Tim Calendar that I liked.
And what is it that he edits now?
Everything. Everything. I leave about 50 to 75 messages every week. How many do you hear? 10, 15 tops?
I'm just a bitter, broken man, Gary. That's all I can say.
And Tim, let me ask you, what is it that you might think about a man who spends his whole week listening to our show and then taking the time to call 50, 60 times in the course of a week to banter with you?
It's more than just B5 too, because he wasn't getting enough attention here, so he went over to Slice and started contributing there. And what he told me earlier was he's also started leaving voicemails for Susie's show, How to Grow Your Geek.
Tim rejected me, and I got to find love elsewhere.
Susie doesn't know better yet. That's the problem.
She loves me. I give good voicemails. She says so.
Well, that's super. Thank you for being with us today. That's terrific.
Do I get the questions, Jeffrey?
I think let's get to the next important thing here, and this is the ongoing battle between Summer and I. Summer,
what?
Let's just talk about the Dodgers for a second.
Oh, hush.
Come on. Where is Arizona in the postseason playoffs right now? Okay. Mm-hmm. And the Dodgers have moved forward. Right. No, I guess by the time this airs, that actually it could be all over. Dodgers and Phillies are start playing tomorrow night. So
mm-hmm.
It's going to be very interesting, a very good series.
I think it will be too.
I think so. Dodgers are terrific, on fire. Philly is out of control. They're really, really.
I don't know. Good. I don't think their hitting is all there. I think they've gotten by against the weaker.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Listen to little Timmy coming up.
Yeah, I actually was holding out hope that the Mets would not completely collapse, but they did. Yeah, we're just not going to talk about that.
The most important part of this is that our own little Jeffrey is actually going to be starring on another show.
Yes.
He's going to be having a little conversation with the AstroCast guys.
That's right. I'm going to be on the AstroCast. Lambo has had me on there. We recorded something earlier this week, and I hope to finish out the MLB season with those guys, do a little more commentary, which is so easy to do after. Well, there's the phone right now, as a matter of fact.
They're calling now. They couldn't wait.
Hotline.
I guess so. Anyway, yeah, we have a great number of things that we're talking about. So anyway, I don't need to get off on this whole baseball tangent.
It's okay.
On this show.
I know how much you love the Dodgers.
I'm glad they're still in the hunt. You know, that's what it's about.
Yep.
They're still in the hunt.
Anyway, that'll be it. We have a special guest in studio. We have a very, very special interview coming up. Everyone is going to enjoy this. I know it. Literally, by the end of the show, everyone will be in stitches.
Oh.
Been hanging by a thread to make this one happen.
Yep.
Times are tough in America. Rising gas prices, world conflict, the mortgage crisis.
This has to change.
In this presidential election, you have lots of choices. But which one is right for America?
I don't believe that there's a politician alive that can fix America's problems.
I agree. And that's why I'm voting for Mitt Zombie.
Mitt Zombie, a presidential candidate like no other.
Brains.
Mitt Zombie believes in a stronger education for our children.
Brains.
Mitt Zombie will bring high-tech jobs back to America.
Brains.
Mitt Zombie is a green candidate. I mean, he's actually green.
Yeah, and he's made of 100% post-consumer materials.
Brains.
This November, bring new life to the political system. Cast your vote for Mitt Zombie.
MittZombie2008.com.
And we're back on the Babylon podcast, and we have literally a plethora of special guests. I don't know where to begin.
Cost load.
Yeah, exactly. We dialed Asia, and they picked up.
We have Zathras and Zathras.
Daryl, and his brother Daryl.
I should step back and give a little bit of background. We were exchanging emails, and I forget whose email I was reading. It might have been Catherine's, and at the bottom of her signature it said B5 fans who knit and forum. And I went, wait a second, hold on, what is that? You have to tell me more. And that spiraled into a conversation where I said, okay, hang on. We're going to get you on the podcast because I need to know more about how B5 and knitting came together. I understand it for Firefly because everybody wanted a Jane hat. I understand it for Firefly. For B5, this is new to me. Introduce yourselves.
Why don't we go around the circle here?
Yes, go around the knitting circle.
The Skype group.
Let's go alphabetically. We'll start alphabetically by first name.
Oh, that means we have to think. first.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm actually the one who contacted Tim and Summer, partially because I know somebody who knows Ed Wasser. And I thought I could maybe help him find him. And it ended up not happening, as I think everybody knows. But in the context of that, I told them about an online group that I co-moderate with one of the other guests here, Heather, called the League of Non-Aligned Knitters, that Heather actually founded, and she'll tell you more about that. Yeah, I know. It's the League of Non-Aligned Knitters. It's wonderful. And we're all on an online group called Ravelry, which is this enormous, huge, 200,000 people on it who knit. Not all of them watch Babylon 5, but no. They all knit. And there are lots of subgroups on Ravelry that people have created for various interest groups. And Heather can tell you more about how she started the B5 group. And I immediately joined, and I couldn't wait to get involved. I mean, I figured these are my people. These are people who watch Babylon 5 and love Babylon 5 and also knit. My two major passions in life brought together in one place.
Good.
All right, Heather, go ahead. Tell us.
All right, I'm Heather, and I'm here in Houston. I actually have a couple of my knitting friends with me, Elizabeth.
Hi.
And Amanda.
Hello.
Going back to the starting the group thing, I started the group back in January of 2008, and mostly I started it because there was a group for pretty much every other show that I liked, but there wasn't one for Babylon 5. And at the time, Elizabeth and I were watching the series. And it just happened that we were getting together after our knit night, which is a place where a bunch of people meet up and knit and have pizza and talk and do crazy weird stuff. But anyway, and so I figured, well, there's probably other knitters who like Babylon 5. And I started the group, and the League of Non-Aligned Knitters name just sort of popped into my head. And it was too funny not to use, so we did. And then I did a search through the forums on Ravelry and invited every single person that had ever posted about Babylon 5, which was at the time about 30 people. But now we've got over 150 people in the group. And,
wow.
Yeah. So that's what we're doing here.
150 people, we could like triple the number of listeners that we have.
We all found the podcast through a post in that forum for the League of Non-Aligned Knitters, because I think Naughty
Elf post.
The forum, yeah.
Okay, so did you all come to Babylon 5 at different times? Were you watching it when it first aired?
No.
Summer, wait. You have to ask the question the other way. You have to say, what project were you knitting at the time that you found?
Okay.
We need Laura to introduce herself, too.
Okay, well, first of all, Jeffrey, you've done this before, haven't you? You're a secret closet knitter, aren't you?
Oh, just, shit.
I have certain pearls of wisdom.
Good one. My name is Laura, and
and I'm a knitter.
I'm a knitter. Leave the knitters alone. Anyways, I got Hermione's invitation. I think I was like number four or number five that she invited to the group. And I was like, oh my God, how smart of a name is that? So I ran into that group and blabbed about your podcast because I'd been listening to it since probably about the second month that you were broadcasting, and I fell in love with it, and so I had to tell everybody about it, and then I had to tell everybody about the books, and because I didn't even know they were out there until I listened to the podcast. And to, I guess, segue into Jeffrey's question about what was I knitting when I first watched B5, I guess I'll have to admit that I wasn't knitting back then. I know, terrible. I've only been knitting for about 4 years, and I watched B5 when it first came out. Unfortunately, the first season, I think I probably watched Infection, which then I immediately turned the TV off for another year, and then I caught it again, and I was hooked after the second season. That's my initiation to the universe, and I've been watching it ever since.
This is Heather. I started really late watching Babylon 5. My husband was actually pretty into Babylon 5. We were dating at the time, and my mother watched Babylon 5, and so my boyfriend would come over and watch Babylon 5 with my mom, and, which was weird. And I would, you know, sometimes try to understand what was going on, but by then we were, you know, I think it was pretty far into fourth season, and I really didn't understand you know, really most of what was going on. And I kept saying, well, I'll watch it, but I'm going to watch it from the beginning. So I waited till it came out on DVD, and then we watched it pretty much back to back. So.
And what project were you knitting at the time?
I wasn't actually knitting at the time. I only started knitting about 2.5 years ago. And
Mentions of latent knitters here. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm seeing a trend here, guys. I think B5 is a gateway drug to knitting.
well, we actually one of the knitters here is a Babylon 5 virgin. She's actually watching the show for the first time. That's Amanda. And we're about halfway through third season. So please,
Amanda,
no spoilers
Amanda,
from the end of third
the
season.
Light, run to the light. Go away.
Well, you know why it's a gateway to knitting is because there is a complete lack of knitwear in the Babylon 5 universe.
I agree. Though there are those
crochet wear. This crochet in Quality of Mercy.
Just one shawl and one sweater. Yeah. That was it.
That's it, though. You're right.
I had an ongoing debate as to whether Franklin scrubs are knitted or crocheted. They're one or the other. We think they're knitted, and I think that Laura disagrees with me, but...
I disagree.
I'm not sure.
They're woven.
I think they're woven, too.
They're woven or they're nail bond, but I don't think it's knitting.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to tell.
It's awkward for scrubs.
Nail bonding I can see, but they're way too wide. Too deep.
And Jeffrey was afraid that this would be uninteresting.
We have to, Tim, I'm telling you, one of these weekends, Tim, you have to let these guys just go ahead and do the deep geeking, because it'll have nothing to do with the story arc. It'll be all about the fabric.
We do actually discuss the story. It happens. You know, we have a weekly knit along here, and there's five of us that show up, and we bring whatever we're knitting on that week, and we watch the episodes in order all the way through.
What episode are you guys on now?
We just watched Severed Dreams, I think, was the last one we watched.
Okay. Yeah. We're on Seek Transit Veer, so we just watched that last night.
So you guys are a little ahead of us.
Yeah, just a little bit, though.
The official B5 knit-along that we have going on our Ravelry group.
I have to ask, Amanda especially, How can you knit and watch Babylon 5 at the same time?
Well, I have running commentary going on as well, so if I miss anything, I'm surrounded by people who've seen it before, and they can clue me in.
Yeah, sometimes we tell her that she has to stop and look. And, you know, we mostly can knit by feel, and you know, I think most knitters will tell you that they watch an awful lot of TV while they knit, or they knit while they watch TV or something along those lines, and so it works out. It's not really as difficult as you'd think it is.
Okay. It helps if you pick a simple project.
When I'm
watching television, or if I'm watching, you know, Babylon 5 or Battlestar Galactica while I'm folding laundry, I'll get wrapped up in the show and I'll find I've been holding on to the same pair of underwear for 50 minutes.
Well, that's because folding laundry is boring.
That's right.
Now, go ahead, Summer.
Okay, so do you guys pick projects that you can finish in watching one or two episodes in a row, or do you actually pick up the project again, you know, spans eight episodes?
Oh, no, the first project that I worked on was actually a pretty complex shawl, and that took me most of first season, I think, to finish.
Wow.
And we did actually only limit ourselves to working on that project while we were watching episodes, so.
Yeah.
But which is really hard, because sometimes, you know, you want to keep knitting or keep watching, you know, so there's sort of a little...
They all have Babylon 5 themed names.
Oh, yeah. We gave all of our projects names or sort of themes to go with the show. The first thing that I worked on was a shawl from a pattern called Icarus. And the yarn that I used was called Shadow, which I thought was highly appropriate.
And, you want to hear something else funny about Icarus?
Which is a beautiful pattern, by the way. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous shawl.
It's lovely. It's feathered, and I know the designer, and actually she came to me for the name. So I named Icarus.
No way.
Awesome.
Yeah. I threw out three names. I threw out Icarus, Agamemnon, and Persephone, and she picked Icarus, and so I kept Persephone for me because I design knitwear that's based on Firefly. So,
very nice.
So other than Firefly and B5, are there other SF shows that you guys like to knit to?
Battlestar Galactica. Sarah Connor Chronicles. Fringe. Let me see. Heroes.
My gosh.
I made a bunch of Jane hats after watching Firefly.
Amanda and I hang out and watch like Doctor Who and Torchwood knit as well.
Yeah.
Has anybody made the Dalek? The knitted Dalek?
There's a knitted Dalek?
It's a knitted Dalek. It's great. It's amazing.
Are you gonna
wait. I knitted what?
Dalek. It's villain from Doctor Who.
Yeah, I don't watch that show.
How big is the Dalek? I have to know this.
I saw a picture of it. I haven't actually seen it in person, but there's a picture of it where it's about the same size as a cat.
I still want to make. I want to see the adipose. I think you guys need to knit that.
I'll knit it.
Okay. I don't know what these things are.
Okay, we'll stop talking about that. We can talk about.
You can talk about it. Just.
It's a Doctor Who villain. It's a little mechanized dome-shaped thing.
The adiposes are a little
it's like
fat.
A salt-shaped thing.
You need to with a bad attitude and a
That's
puncher.
The extent of my Doctor Who
It walks
knowledge.
Around exterminating people. Well, rolls around.
We have a Dalek beer opener here, beer bottle opener here, so.
You know.
There is
awesome.
There it is. Gary's got it. But, so have you guys done any projects that were inspired by clothing you've seen on Babylon 5 or any of your favorite?
The project that I'm working on is called, I think, Cautious Encounter Cardigan.
Cautious Encounter Cardigan?
Is it a hoodie?
The fabric looks a lot like the shower curtain.
Encounter
suit that Kosh wears. So we named it that before she actually even started watching.
Yes, the first project I did was a green wrap, and it's called I'm Green Leader.
Yeah, but now she's working on a purple scarf, and it's purple. I'm Purple Leader.
No, it's purple. I'm stunning.
I did a scarf out of a yarn, and the colorway was called Cosmic Dawn, so I named it the Cosmic Dawn of the Third Age of Mankind scarf.
Wow. My other favorite is one of the biggest favorite pair of socks that people knit is called Jaywalkers, and I am convinced that we need to do Deathwalkers.
I would love to knit a coat that looks like Jakar's coat, but that would be pretty difficult. But we've thought about it. We've actually had discussions.
Now, listen, with something like that, can you do can you work in different materials like that so that it could be the structure is knitted, but there would still be like leather pieces or something like
certainly.
That?
Yeah,
it would certainly. Certainly.
But we could.
Excuse me, I was just asking.
It would be fun.
Wow.
Yes.
Heather's charted out some patterns. She charted out the Psycorp badge, and she charted out the Earth Force badge as well. And she has those available. She made those available to all knitters on Ravelry, so we're all ready to go knit stuff with that stuff knitted into it.
Okay, so
how hard is it to chart something like that? What exactly does that mean?
It was shamefully easy. Charting is what you use for complex color patterns where you're switching from one color to another across your knitted garment. And I found a place where I could just dump in images and it would chart them. And that's pretty much what I did with the Psycor logo. And then I wanted to see how the Earth Force one would work out. And it actually, I think, worked out better than the Psycor logo. But somebody actually requested the Psycor logo. They wanted to make a bag. So
wait, Timmy, let's go back just a step here and let's do some knitting 101, please.
Okay.
Just the basics. If you would, please, how does knitting, say, differ from needlepoint or from crochet or from weaving, as you would mention? Or just just give us some
better.
Idea.
Well, except for crochet. Crochet is just as good as knitting.
Crochet is done with one. It's a hook. Whereas knitting needles are traditionally two needles, but there is some sort of knitting that you can do that incorporates five needles. Well, yeah. And then the embroidery is done through fabric with a sharp needle. And with crochet and with knit, you are making fabric. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. No, I am. As a, because I remember I've talked about it on the show before. There was a fan who did some amazing needlepoint work, but that is thread on an existing fabric already, right? Right.
Correct. Right. And you can apply needlepoint or an embroidery or even cross stitch to knitted fabric. Another difference between crochet and knitting is that with the crochet, you go back and forth or in a circle. I'm sorry, with knitting, you go back and forth or in a circle. With crochet, you can go in any direction.
Or if you're in space, you can crochet.
You can crochet by hanging upside down or floating, yeah.
So is it, and when I made my joke about pearl, knit one, pearl two, that is knitting, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, you are right on.
Only two knit stitches. There's the knit stitch and the pearl stitch, and those are the only two stitches used on any knitted garment. And
everything else is
modifications on those two.
Yeah, it's a variation on those two themes.
Whereas crochet, there are many, many different stitches.
Well, there's infinite stitches. It depends on how many times you wrap it.
Or is that just by necessity that you've only got two stitches?
I think all you need is two stitches. And as far as, you know, doing things within a pattern, say you'll see some knitwear with some very beautiful, like, you know, patterns with holes in it. That's lace, and it's a variation of a knit or a pearl. And then you have cableware, like the wash sweater from Firefly. That's done just by twisting and crossing knit and pearl stitches. So yeah, basically those are only two you need, and the rest are just an easy variation.
I wonder how many other non-knitting Firefly fans actually even notice that sweater that Wash is wearing.
That's the one that hooked me into the show. I mean, I wasn't addicted till I saw that sweater. I'm like, I have to make that, and I designed one. So,
wow. Okay, now I'm interested. I'm curious.
Now, like,
I'm not hooked because I don't have time for knitting. I really don't.
Well, when you come out here to LA, I could teach you.
That's okay.
Is it easy?
So, it's not difficult. The learning curve is a little steep, but once you get the hang of it, it's pretty easy, and you kind of just do it automatically.
Sit there and watch Babylon 5 while you knit.
Right. And I mean, I find that I steal time to knit a lot, like when I'm waiting in line or I'm a grad student, so I have to sit through a lot of really boring seminars. And, I'm probably the only grad student in my department that's awake through them because I'm knitting.
That knitting girl at school.
shall I come out on the Babylon podcast coming out of the knitting closet?
Uh-oh. Really?
Growing up, I used to knit, needlepoint, crochet, and hook.
See, that's hot.
Yes. And I still know how to do it.
Excellent. That's how he works that.
Gotta get on
somewhere.
Ravelry.
Yes.
There are actually boy knitters on Ravelry. Lots of them.
There's whole groups for them.
Yeah. And there's a really popular knitting podcaster in Australia who actually started watching Babylon 5 and started talking about it on his podcast. So.
And I invited him to join the podcast.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
I said I threw him toward the podcast and the group. So,
yeah, he's in our group.
I didn't get into the knitting as much as I did crocheting, and I did the iron-on transfer needlepoint and did a lot of that when I was a kid. I really, really did.
Wow,
I've got a lot of it still.
If you really want to know the secret, all that money that Mike was asking for a mixer board, it was actually for
he's got to build a stash.
You know, yeah.
Gosh, coming up
I
like
totally relate with that. Yeah,
this is like episode. I don't know what is this 135 or something like that. 140 or how?
134.
All this time, 34, and never before have we heard the words for Michael. That's hot.
That wasn't me.
We've got you now.
That was me. Yeah. But yeah, men who knit are hot. I'm sorry.
That's true.
So that means you walk around with one of those extra little bags over your shoulder that's got all your stuff in it, and you're always ready on the fly.
Yeah, you can recognize a knitter from a mile away because they're carrying two bags all the time.
You know, honestly, it really makes it – I can't believe I'm going here, but it really does – it really is a good foundation because you know how to sew for yourself. You know how to deal with that stuff. You know, you have snags in sweaters and stuff. It's nice to be able to fix that. It really is.
Ready for the apocalypse too.
Absolutely. You bet. That's right. When you're all naked and burned, we'll be wearing clothing.
When zombies are chasing after you, yeah, we'll be running and knitting at the same time.
Absolutely.
Just stab them in the head with needles.
Yeah. That's what we could use the DPNs for. It's like, throwing knives. Yeah.
Okay, so have you guys ever created any like distressed items of clothing like you'd see on Jeremiah?
Not on purpose. Sometimes they get thrown in the washer and you haven't quite woven in the ends. And yeah, on accident, sure. I think some people design knitwear to look distressed like that.
There's an Irish designer who does that. I forget her name. But it's Maggie something. Maybe they know what I'm talking about. Maggie somebody in Ireland. And it's actually not very nice. I don't like it that much.
Yeah, it's not really my thing either. It's not,
if you're listening.
If I meant to wear torn up clothes, I'd tear up my clothes. But I wouldn't put hours upon hours and hundreds of dollars into yarn to make something that looks like I tore it up.
Okay.
Well, there's a lot to be said, though. I mean, you see all the chainmail guys at the Ren festivals and the sci-fi festivals, but you really don't see a lot of the people that are doing the homespun stuff.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah,
exactly. What's up with that, Michael? Come on.
Yeah.
Now that you're out, come on, Michael.
Michael, have you tried spinning?
I have not spun. I'm not a spinner.
Okay. Are any of the other knitters here spinners?
No, I tried and it was not pretty.
Yeah, I can get really nice big globs of stuff to come down.
That's about it.
I do drop spindling, but only because it is historically accurate for women of the 2nd century Roman era to do so, and I only do it at the events.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Well, see, that's what I tried, and it didn't work.
Confession time, ladies. Remember a few months back when, and Summer and Michael and Tim and Jeff already know this, back when they did the interview with Peter Woodward and there was a picture of a Roman reenactment group on the blog, the show notes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was my group.
Really?
That's awesome.
And I saw that picture and I was all like, yes, and I emailed it to everybody. I just did like a big old geek dance. I loved it.
Well, I have a lot of respect for spinners because I completely get Rumpelstiltskin now. I mean, it's just really do.
I still don't get it. But so does it matter what type of yarn you're using? Because I know I know several people who either have started raising alpacas or are seriously considering it.
There's all sorts of different types of fiber content in yarns. So it can go from, you know, Coke bottles, they turn that into yarn, all the way to luxury fiber like the alpacas and the llamas and Quebec yak.
Yak? Did you say yak?
Yeah, they spin yak. So, some people spin dog and cat hair.
And then there's that weird, there's Habu from Japan, and they do, like, stainless steel, and it's beautiful, but it's really, really strange.
Wow, I got an endless supply. My cats are
not
there.
Not the softest garments ever.
Go ahead.
Now I was going to say, if you're doing something like a Jane hat, do you try to get so accurate that you're looking for the exact same yarn that was used on the show?
Oh, there was a whole discussion about that.
They know what yarn was.
Mini in-depth discussions.
I think the general consensus was that Ma Cobb would not have used a synthetic fiber. And would probably have had access to wool on whatever planet it was that she lived on. Yeah. It wouldn't have been expensive wool.
It would have been the cheap, rough stuff. Because Jane was rough and tough, too.
Yeah,
so,
you know, most people that have knit the Jane hats have used a
Do you think that we would still have on Babylon 5, would they still have the same kind of yarns that we're dealing with today? And if they were so inclined, would Delenn be fashionable if she was wearing more knitwear?
Yes.
I think so.
She'd probably be knitting with something that some of our more modern fibers, like the soy and the more green.
Delenn would be using new fibers.
I think Delenn would totally wear the Ice Queen cowl.
Okay.
Maybe. Yeah.
It has crystals in it.
No, I see that as more Centauri wear, though.
No, I disagree.
Morella was wearing the veil with all the head stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, the Centauri women would totally need knitwear because, you know, their heads are bald. So, you know, they get cold, right? Yeah. They have to have hats.
Especially in the northern provinces. Yeah.
That's right.
Okay, all of a sudden, I'm wondering what kind of hat would you put on a male Centauri? That's just kind of scary.
Actually, you could put a big buttonhole across the middle.
Or you can just make it open-ended. have the little cockpong coming out.
Sorry, yeah.
Mondo beanie.
Or one of those really long, you know, elf hats, the ones that reach the ground. Yeah. And then you stiffen it with wire so it sticks straight up.
That'd be awesome.
And depending on how tall the hat was the station that the Centauri would, you know, the rank of society. Do we think about this too much?
Yeah. it just proves you belong here.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Offline here, Michael and I are planning how to create a whole new show based around you guys alone.
Absolutely.
That'd be cool.
Be able to keep the audience in stitches.
Oh!
You've been waiting an hour to bring that one back, haven't you?
No, I've not. Wait,
Jeffrey,
the story has a great
so
thread running through it.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, you've crossed the stitch now.
that's my fault. I gave him that opening, didn't I?
I think the show's beginning to unravel now.
Oh. Y'all are just naughty. That's it.
Ooh.
Can we tie this thing up?
I must be getting tired because I keep yarning.
Damn! Okay! That's going to call it.
I think that's a sign that we're done.
I think we beat this thread to death.
Yeah. Okay, somebody give us the links to where people can find you, and if we have any other B5 knitters out there, how they can get in touch with you, how they can join your groups.
Okay, the site is Ravelry, which is www.ravelry.com. It's still in beta right now, so you will have to go ahead and send them your email address, and then they'll hook you up with an invite within a couple of days. And don't worry, they invite everybody that sends their email address. Once you're in, just go to groups and then type in B5. It should come up, and we're the League of Non-Aligned Knitters.
That's awesome.
Michael's going to be the only guy that gets rejected.
Men and gay. Oh, God, we heard that podcast.
Not him. No. Keep him out.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Well, I thank you for taking time out of your evening. I know some of you are on the East Coast to join us. This was a lot more fun than I thought it was going to be. And I have learned. I truly have learned. I didn't understand the knitting and the B5 thing, but it's okay. I got it.
And ladies, cool. If you would, please, as you can, just send us some images of not only your work, but you guys working while you're watching. I think that would be, there's got to be proof, because so far I think the jury's still out on whether or not you guys are just psycho or if you some photographic proof would be help here, I think.
We'll hook you up.
Oh,
that was bad. That took me a while to get.
Oh, my gosh.
You just like needling me, don't you?
I don't mean to needle you on the point.
He got needle and point in there. Jeez.
Oh, he's good.
Oh.
No, I just want to reiterate one last thing before we let you go. Part of what got you on here was the promise that someone would knit me a Minbari headphone hat.
I think that was me. Uh-oh. I think I'm on the hook.
All right, so we're going to find out how Tim can get his Minbari headphone hat, but we'll be right back with more Babylon Podcast right after this.
Speaking German for Geeks. Luke, ich bin dein Vater. Luke, I am your father. Luke, ich bin dein Vater. Da ist ein Außerirdischer auf meinem Gesicht. There is an alien on my face. Da ist ein Außerirdischer auf meinem Gesicht. Wo ist deine TARDIS? Where is your TARDIS? Wo ist deine TARDIS? Der Geek, a new podcast from Tosis and Liana in Germany. Culture Shock is just the beginning. Coming soon to dergeek.com. Bis bald!
And we're back with more Babylon Podcast. Time to close.
To knit or not to knit? That is the question.
That was quite a yarn they had.
That's some great stuff.
Go ahead, keep going. We need to get the puns out now.
Here's the thing. Let me say this. The universe never ceases to surprise me, and I don't know why I still continue to be surprised. But when we got the email from Catherine, as she mentioned, and Summer, you noticed the B5 Knitters group, I'm like, I would never have put those two things together.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, it was just, it was just so out of left field.
No, and I've been doing this, obviously, for a long time and have seen all kinds of silliness. And not to say that the Knitters are silly. It was just that when I saw that, I was like, oh, my gosh, that's a show. We have to get these guys on. That's a show right there.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
I think that's great. And they were good sports about it all, too. They put up with us. But we did learn. We did learn. Here's what we learned. Here's the most important thing that we learned. Michael is a closet knitter.
Yeah, but Michael grew up in Nebraska.
wait a minute. What are you saying?
What else were you going to do?
You got that, actually.
Well, he does tie one on once in a while. So.
Oh. There you go. What do you think I drink?
One, drink two.
Gary, I couldn't help but notice you were remarkably quiet through all of that. What say you to the fans who are B5 knitters?
I am so grateful for anyone who's a fan of Babylon 5. It seems like we're becoming this, lone voice out there in the podosphere and the internet, that there's a lack of new, B5 information or just fandom out there. It's so great to hear that there are, active cultures that we just didn't know existed before that are popping up, are actively, involved in, watching the show, talking about it amongst each other. It's a great thing that, discussion is going on more than just here. It seems like, it's a rare commodity.
My God, you've been drinking Michael's scotch, haven't you?
You better believe it.
You are so toasted. I can tell you're wasted. That was, what are you doing?
Gary has passion and he has fire.
Yes. This is what we fans do.
Oh. That's pretty great, though.
You're just a jaded Hollywood insider now, Willer. That's the problem.
So yeah, right, exactly. We can just find somebody in Hollywood that knew something about B5. So how could this possibly expand, Gary? If there were some other hobbies, pastimes, sports, that sort of thing, activities that could have a B5 connection.
I'm thinking full contact karate with like Drazi masks on.
There you go. The Muay Thai.
There you go.
Yeah. Right.
Get a nice little cage. Uh-huh. You know, some blues, hey, some purple, some green. You're all set.
That's it. We could have a semi, a not quite so dangerous Muay Thai match at a Dragon Con.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Hey, that would actually make more sense on Sci-Fi Channel than WWE.
There you go.
Right.
Or maybe Sunday, drag racing DragonCon.
No. I got it. We have like a celebrity death match thing, but instead of like washed up actors or wrestlers, we have people coming in character from their different shows, not just animated, just, you know, people in the real costumes.
Yeah.
We have to come up with a sci-fi reality show that Jeffrey can pitch to Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah, that's it. That's a great idea. Sebastian walking into the men's warehouse for a new suit.
Click.
Yeah.
Click.
That's it. Take all these
I'm looking for a new suit.
Yeah. Sort of a mystery science theater, but not. Yeah, exactly. That's funny. That would be good stuff. Maybe there's B5 snowboarders. There's a whole group of people who watch B5 while they're snowboarding at 60 miles an hour down the side.
Yeah, on their iPods.
Exactly. There you go.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
Snowboarders, drag racers.
Alligator wrestlers.
Uh-huh. That's not a knife.
Snake charmers.
Uh-huh.
Cross-country bike racers. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. You know, instead of Tour de France, you have Tour de Babylon 5, you know? Tour de Epsilon 3. Yeah, Tour de Epsilon 3. There you go.
A Survivor make it through the brown section?
Uh-huh. There you go.
I'm actually liking the bike idea, but instead of them riding down the road, you just get a big tube and spin it really fast, and it sticks them to the outside, and you have to ride around in circles inside of the tubes.
Or fall down.
I think this is maybe like the, and also like the Ivanova Iditarod.
I think it's more the Ivanova Rodeo. You try to hold on for 8 seconds.
Oh.
Shuck-a-luck.
Good luck getting that knitted cap there, buddy boy.
Right. I'll have the knitters knit me up a padded suit so I can handle that one.
All right. So come on, Gary, give us a pearl of wisdom. A pearl of wisdom from Jacksonville. What's happening in Jacksonville these days that speaks to the B5 audience?
Well, we have presidential candidates running through there like wildfire. McCain's been there. Palin's been there. Obama's been there. I didn't think we were the focus of the universe, but they're hitting every place lately.
Yeah.
So that's why you're in Phoenix, right?
Can't imagine why they're there. Does the phrase hanging Chad have anything to do with maybe why all those people are coming down there right away? In fact, I got a thing today. Guess what? I got an email today that's talking about this new group that's come together that's called, what's it called? It was hilarious. It's a community of, it's a Jewish community that's trying to get all the Jewish relatives to go to Florida right away to convince all the people in Florida not to vote Republican and to vote Democratic instead. It's hilarious because, you had to be there.
I guess so.
So, Jeffrey, I've traveled all this way. Do I get the two or three questions that every guest is supposed to get?
Yeah. Is this a trick question?
No. Remember how every guest we have in studio, you ask them the Babylon 5 questions, remember?
I'm just not feeling the love.
Wow.
He's feeling left out.
You have to get the crickets out.
Yeah.
Questions. What are the B5 questions?
You know, how did you come to Babylon 5? Remember?
How did you come to Babylon 5, Gary?
On a transport, like everyone else. No.
Thank you. Who's your favorite Kosh character?
Thank you, Jeffrey.
I like Valana. She was only in the, you know, the exhibition artwork. They never actually made a character out of her, but I thought she showed a lot of promise.
Yeah.
Wow. I thought you would have gone for Drazi number 3 in the lineup in the hallway, but wow, I really... was there another question, Summer?
Who's your favorite Vorlon?
Who's your favorite Vorlon?
That was question number 2, wasn't it?
That was question number 2.
Have we been doing the show so long that I don't remember that I'm supposed to ask these questions?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Gosh, they're, you know, here I was making
the,
my...
They're the same three
Actually,
questions.
Actually, you know what's frightening is I'm starting to go back through the old shows from this year to start trying to call clips for the year-end fest thing. Mm-hmm. It seems like it's a lifetime ago.
You're cutting me out of everything, aren't you, Tim? That's why it's taken so long. You got to trim out every time I appear.
Hey, that Tim is ending the year with you again.
No, you're my favorite Vorlon. I even have a sticker of you on my computer.
He does. I am seeing it here. It's a little oval sticker. It says, "We are all Kosh."
Oh, that's nice. I don't have one of those.
Because you're not well.
Go to Cafe Press. You can buy one.
Of course. Cafe Press, source of all knowledge.
It is. Or it's quickly getting there.
Well, it was while you could still get the script books.
what other questions?
When you get ready to do your tete-a-tete with the calendar, are you kind of going from memory of watching the shows, or do you rewatch the show?
I usually watch about maybe four, like a disc worth, maybe about 2 to 3 weeks before you guys get to it. So it's usually still pretty fresh in my head.
Okay, so you're not listening to Tim Geek and then watching the episode and going, dude, you were so totally wrong because I'm watching it right now.
I wouldn't take advantage of Tim like that.
I was going to say, he's going, dude, he's so totally wrong. I better watch the episode to make sure.
Now, so when you're listening to the show... You said you listen to the show on your commute. So you're actually pausing the podcast, calling in a voicemail on your commute.
Yes, I'm driving down a highway at about 60 to 70 miles an hour. I have a nice little FM converter for my iPod. I have to put that on pause, put the podcast on pause, shut the radio off so that it doesn't go to that static thing, because then Mike will be mad about the levels, or Brad could be, who knows. Then I'll leave my message. Start it all up again, say, oh, damn it, what is he talking about? Shut it all off again, leave another message. Then something will dawn on me about 3 minutes later, and then I'll have to do it all over again.
And the state of Florida thinks this is safe driving.
Well, there was only that one mishap, and, you know, they didn't write a ticket, so I don't think it counts.
For Gary, it's a 2-hour show.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I usually listen to, besides listening to the live feed every night, well, not every night it's on, I get some things out of just listening to the produced show that I either glance over while I'm typing in the chat room, or just that it hits me when I hear it the second time. And so when I'm listening to the produced version, things pop into my head that didn't pop in before. So that's when I'll call up and comment on it. Usually I'll listen to like 2 or 3 episodes at a time of the produced version.
Cool.
And even knowing that I'm editing your voicemails down, you still go through all that. I'm impressed.
So yeah,
I'm
wait a
fan.
Minute. So you listen to the live feed, and then you'll listen to the downloaded show.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I get a different experience from listening to the produced version versus, you know, interacting with the chat room while it's going on, and, you know, different things are not edited out yet.
Wait, which one am I funnier in?
The finished show, Jeffrey. Definitely the finished show.
Thank you, Brad. Thank you, Brad. Brad is good.
Yes, Brad works his magic on all of us, making us sound not quite so disjointed. That'll be it for today, I believe.
Yep.
Unless Tim has a question for me that I can answer.
Yeah, 3 questions you always ask. Where are they?
You know what? I'm drawing a blank. I think once we...
Gary, are you a member of Tim's fan club?
I believe I have admitted to being the only male member of his fan club. Yes.
Very good.
All right. That'll do it for today's show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we do. We are going to get them back on to talk more knitting later, but we have to recover first. If you want to send us your own message, you can send us an email at babylonpodcast@gmail.com or join the forums. Please join in the forums. The forums, we need more people going to farpointforums.com and contributing to the 83x9x12 thread, because 10,000 messages is not enough.
I can't keep it up by myself, guys.
If you want to leave us a voicemail, that number is 206-338-2259.
That's 206-338-2259, the year I came on the studio.
Knit one pearl, two, knit one pearl, two, knit one pearl, two.
And we'll see you next time on the other side of the latch hook.